Amen. Amen. Back again. All right. I'm going to ask you, if you want to, turn to Matthew chapter 6, if you're following along in your Bible. Matthew chapter 6. And I said, we're going to keep things rolling here today, because we want to go back into worship and a time of prayer today. So I hope you've been blessed already. We're in the second part of our series, First Things First. And obviously, we all know, beginning of the year is a great time to review where life has taken us, right? It's good to look back a little bit. Look where's life taken us, and where do we feel God wants us to go in the future? What does he want to do? You know, because again, how many of you find out at times you have to adjust your priorities, right? I mean, my priorities, it can get skewered very easily, particularly in our society. And I know myself, one of my things I have to keep first things first is that I'm a very spontaneous person, and I enjoy spontaneity. I think it's a beautiful thing. I think it's a beautiful thing. I think organization is for, you know, type C personalities that need that. I need those people in my life. Just ask Bridget, our administrator. I need that. You know, because again, I'm spontaneous. And again, it's like, hey, lady, my wife, that's my name for her. Lady, there's something going on downtown. Let's go. We need to do this. When is it? It's this afternoon. That's the way I like to live. That's what I like to do. But I want to make clear though, when I say spontaneity can be a good thing, it's not always a good thing, right? Again, because it gets me into trouble. Spontaneity gets me into trouble because I don't put first things first. You know, again, some of you have been the collateral damage of my spontaneity, okay? Because I will commit to meet with you, and I've already committed to meet with another one of you. Okay. Why does that happen? Why? Because I'm spontaneous. I'm not taking the time. And so what happens then? Listen, because I don't put first things first and look at my calendar or even possibly talk to my wife, okay? Because I don't do those things, I complicate my life. Things get convoluted, right? And I become my own worst enemy. How many spontaneous people can admit to that? Amen. Yes, that's right. I mean, again, I'm spontaneous. So what I do is I create problems in my life. You know, I like to blame other people for my problems. I don't like to create my own. So God, I need to be set free here. But listen, even on a bigger scale, how often do I complicate my life because I have not prayed? How often have I caused more problems in my life because I reacted emotionally instead of acting in prayer? Think about your own life. How many times have you could have really avoided a problem if you prayed instead of reacted, right? Man, so God wants to challenge us this year that one of the first things we need to do, first things first, is we need to pray. Last week we said one of the first things we want to lead in this year is repentance. We want to be people who are quick to say, I was wrong. We want to be people who will be quick before God to say, I was wrong, I repent. Now, secondly, what do we want to do? Listen, we want to be people who pray first in our life. Listen, what would happen if you prayed more and talked less, right? Just think of the changes that could happen in your life. What if praying first becomes your new normal? What if praying is the first idea? When you get together with your friends, before we just start talking about what happened in the playoff games last night, then we say, you know what, let's just take a minute, let's just pray, let's just keep God first. What could change in life if we were willing to do these types of things? You know, picture this, that the parents, the first thing they're doing with their kids in the morning is let's pray. Let's thank God for the day. Right? What happens if we start doing these things? What happens if in marriages, people start praying first? Okay, so what we want to do, listen, we want to make prayer the first action in 2023. Listen, you may say, well, but in my marriage, my spouse doesn't want to do that. That doesn't stop you from doing it, all right? What if you made prayer your action instead of emotions being your reaction? It can change our lives. Let's pray right now. Father, we come before you, God. We thank you, God, that you make prayer, you make communication with you available to everyone. And Father God, help me to see, Lord God, how you long to help us. You long to help us, Father God. You long to speak to us. You long to give us peace in storms. Father God, help me see, Lord, how I complicate my life by not trusting you. Help me see, Father God, that again, I can lead with prayer in my life. I can be one, Father, who approaches you first. God, and I can be one who walks in the blessing of being an heir, being a son, being a daughter of the Father. Open me up in these next moments. Open me up, God, that I could see it. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is speaking. He's speaking in the context here in verse 33. He's speaking in the context of worry, of anxiety. And again, obviously, worry and anxiety is all of us deal with to some degree, right? We're always trying to process worry and anxiety in our lives to some level. And Jesus said, in addressing worry and anxiety, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. And again, I want you to catch the meaning of the word seek, okay? Seek, inquire, investigate, get to the bottom of a matter. What I want you to catch when it comes to seeking first, seeking God first, okay? It doesn't just happen in a moment. Like, there's an investigation. And we think, you know, we have an issue with our kitchen sink. There's a leak coming from somewhere. I had to investigate it. I couldn't just take a quick glance and identify it, right? I had to investigate. I had to dig into it, and I had to get to the bottom of where the problem really was. Okay, if you're going to seek God first, you have to pursue Him. It isn't just going to happen. So, oh yeah, okay, God, I'm going to seek You first. How many know that doesn't work, right? There is a pursuit here. There is an effort that's necessary in seeking Him. There's an investigation, all right? I got Him. I got to do this first. Seek first Him. Seek God first, right? It's not an afterthought. It's not just a whimsical, it's not like tossing a Frisbee prayer around here, right? It's just like, it's more than that. It takes effort. Okay, so if we're going to seek God first and walk in these promises, it takes some effort. We got to be willing to pursue. And the kingdom, again, we could define the kingdom in different ways. All right, here we're just going to define as what's the kingdom? The rule of Christ in your heart. Seek God first. You want to seek His kingdom. I want to seek His ruling in my life. I need Him to rule here, right? Because if I'm seeking Him and I'm reminded who He is, what happens to worry? It goes away, right? But you have to pursue that. You can't pursue it. It will not just happen. And catch this. Jesus does not say stop worrying. He says replace the worry with pursuing the kingdom of God. And so often we just want God to eliminate the worry. Oh, just take the pain away. It doesn't work that way. We try to rid ourselves of worry instead of replacing it. See, you are to replace worry with pursuit of the kingdom. Replace worry with pursuit of the kingdom of God. Right, and so often I just want you to take it away. I don't want to have to do anything else. All right, you know, it's so often with people in the rooms of AA and NA, you know, getting rid of the drug is just the first part of the problem, right? Because there's roots that push them down those paths, right? There's roots that took them there. Okay, so again, they have to investigate. There's something bigger going on. You have to do more than get rid of the problem. There's why? Because your problems are bigger than that, right? We need something more, man. I need to replace this habit, this passion that I have with a greater passion. Okay, I need a greater passion. Is there any greater passion than knowing Jesus Christ? Is there any greater passion than pursuing Him? Right? Have you found one out there? Anybody found anything better than Jesus? Okay. If you think you did, you'd be afraid to say it right now. I understand, but. Feel free to come up and tell me, all right? I'm willing to listen. You think you got something better than this? Let me know. Okay, first things first, that's what we want, a commitment to find God, to find His will, to align ourselves with His purpose. I want to align myself with Him, all right? That's replacement. Okay, I'm not going to worry. No, I'm going to replace worry with pursuing the kingdom. Going to pursue the kingdom of God. That's what I'm looking for in this life. Man, because there's great promises that we have in God. Okay, let's not go there yet. Listen, think about this. There's two times to pray in your life. Two times to pray in your life, okay? When you know what God's asking you to do and when you don't know what God's asking you to do. Okay, in other words, you got to do it all the time. Okay, because we're usually, most of us, we're in one of those camps. We're in one of those camps. You're either in a place like, God, I'm not sure what to do. I'm not sure what to do with where my life stands right now. But other times, like, God, I feel like you told me, but it scares the heaven out of me. I don't know what to do. So again, God's saying, pursue me. He is to be pursued. He wants you to pursue him. He wants to reveal himself. Right? He wants to strengthen you. That's a reality that we have. And so God wants you to pray. He wants you to come before him. He wants you to pursue him. Man, what if you, in 2023, you could be the first person in the room to pray or to suggest, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's not just talk, let's pray. What if you could be that person? And you say, well, Pastor, do you mean out loud? Oh, maybe that is out loud. For some of you, that's a next step in your life, is to pray out loud. For many of you, it is. That's not bad. That's not bad. Know this, though. Look, when we say pray first, we don't mean to pray like long, you know, Book of Psalms length prayers, okay? God's not impressed by how loud you are, right? He's not impressed by all your words. Yeah, you know, because a lot of times you'll hear a pastor pray and you think, I can't pray like that. You know, don't, God's not concerned. He's not impressed with words. He's impressed with heart. God only is concerned with sincerity. This is what he's concerned about. He's not impressed with the words. He's impressed with sincerity. He's impressed with passion. Passion, people who trust. That's what he's looking for. So when we say to pray, I just want you to catch that. It's something you can do. You can do. I mean, you can say, you can cry out and say, oh, God, right? You know, that actually is a prayer. God, I trust you. That's a prayer. God, I'm going to trust you. That's a prayer. Is it sincere? Yes. It's the beginning. Are you going to stay with prayers that, like that? No, but man, that's where you start. That's where you start. God's saying, trust me. Come before me. Communicate with me that I can communicate with you. In Matthew chapter 6, in the fifth verse, we see here, it's Jesus three times says in this text, in 5, 6, and 7, he says, when you pray. When you pray. Okay? In other words, Jesus expects us to be praying. He expects that to be happening. Okay? And then he tells us to pray. And then he tells us also, when you fast. That's one of the reasons we fast. I think if Jesus suggested it, it's a pretty good idea. All right? That's what I've found in my life. If I do what the red letters say in my Bible, things work out better. Okay, so again, help us catch this, the simple reality of all of that. Okay, and again, and I pray this week, as you choose, as you make a choice on what your fast will be, whether it be a certain type of food or a meal a day, man, that you are going to take that time to pray. You're going to take that time to hear God. All right, because listen, fasting without prayer is a diet. Okay, it's a diet. Okay, that's what it is. It's a diet. That's all it is. The idea is to take that moment and come before God, that I could know him better, that I could hear his voice. I want you to hear his voice. So God, help us. Help us catch this. Okay. Now, every child of God has the privilege to pray for these three things. You have the privilege to pray for these three things. Growing strength of God, you could be grounded in God's love, and the greatness of God's power be demonstrated. Every one of us has, and it's a privilege. It's a privilege to pray. And what we're going to do right now is we're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 3, one of my favorite texts in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to look at this amazing prayer that Paul had for the Christians in the city of Ephesus. Again, he's writing to these people. He had spent a couple years with them. He knew these people. He loved them. All right, and he wants to encourage them. Ephesians is a letter that Paul wrote that it's really written to the whole church. It's really a church letter. But obviously there's individual aspects, but it's lived out together. But this is an amazing, amazing account of what prayer is supposed to be. Okay? And if you can catch this, listen, if you can check in with what I'm speaking over the next few moments, it can change your prayer life. It can change it. It can put life into it that you haven't known before. In Ephesians chapter 3, let's just read this together here, starting in verse 14. So Paul, he was just speaking before this about the church, okay, and at the ending chapter 2. And he's talking about the church, and he's talking about who God is. And he says, when I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Listen, there's a lot of good stuff in here. But first thing I want you to catch is, again, this is his prayer for the Ephesians, right? He's hitting his knees to pray for them, all right? Catch what he is not praying. He's not praying that they reach the lost, right? I don't see that in there. He's not praying that they can prophesy. He's not praying that they can heal the sick. Right? He's not even praying that they're in great community and relationship. Right? What's his primary prayer? He said, look, I pray when I fall to my knees, what I pray for you is that you would understand, you would start to get a grasp of how empowered you are, that God wants to empower you on the inside through his Spirit. God is for you. He is for you. He is for you. And that's what you get. God wants you to grow in strength and strengthening on the inside. Man, his plan is to reveal his mystery to us, this mystery of his power. He falls to his knees and he prays. He prays, God, Father God, I pray that his glorious, unlimited resources will empower you with inner strength. And the word empowerment here, again, it's talking about strong power. It's talking about immense power. God wants to give you immense, immense power. Dominating strength is what it really speaks of. So when it speaks those things of immense power, it's like dominating strength. I don't know how many football fans are in here, but a week ago, the college national championship was played, and one team beat the other 65-7. Okay. Now, you may not know much about football, but you know that was dominating strength, right? Listen, that's what God wants to give you. Dominating strength over the issues in your life. Dominating strength. That's Paul saying, I pray they could catch how much God wants to empower them. I pray they could comprehend how much the Father is for them. Man, see, think about that. Paul isn't praying that they do. He's praying that they have revelation and understanding. God, give them revelation, God. Father, he's praying, God, give them understanding. Give them understanding in the midst of this. Man, miraculous power. Wow. God, help us. Help us catch it. So, God, that's what we want to grasp. That's what we want to grasp here. So hold fast. Even as we go through these next couple verses, hold fast what he wants to do. Now, again, just for clarity's sake, just want to throw this out. Because it says here we're praying to the Father, and he's going to strengthen us through the Spirit. At times we do get confused on who are we supposed to pray to. Okay? There's this Father, Son, Holy Spirit thing, right? And I know if someone is coming into Christianity unchurched, it's like who's who and how's he the Son and how can he be God if he is a Father, right? It gets confusing. It gets very confusing. Let's just keep it simple, okay? Listen, if you pray to the Holy Spirit, if you pray to Jesus, if you pray to the Father, if you pray to God, okay, it's okay. God hears you no matter which term you use. All right, he hears you. It's three in one. I can say, God, please come and strengthen me. Or I can say, Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Or I can say, Jesus, please be with me. It's all the same prayer. Okay, you got that? By when you catch it. But typically, if you look at this theologically, though, right, prayer is usually directed to the Father through Jesus. Jesus made a way for us to get to the Father when he died on the cross, died for your sin, and rose again, right? And it's by the direction of the Holy Spirit, okay? So just catch that. So don't get caught up. Don't get caught up in that. Just flip back to that other slide, please, Joel. Okay. So catch this too. It says, verse 17, Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Can you just contemplate that for a minute? He says, I want to make my home in your heart. God says, I want to come and live inside of you. God wants to do that. What kind of promise is that? See, and the thing is, see, what it is in our minds, we make it seem just so big and so far. It's like I can't believe that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. This is the love God has for you. He says, I would literally want to come and I want to live inside of you. I want to live inside of you. Let's go on, verse 17. Okay, and it says here, okay, next slide, please. Okay, Paul goes on to pray, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. Okay, may he's praying, let your roots go deep in God. Think about this. What's this word roots? Roots, it's like the roots that go way down on a deep down into the soil under a tree. They wrap the roots around rocks, boulders. That tree is immovable in any storm. Okay, and again, grounded. It's like a building that has such a strong foundation it will not crack, in even in earthquake, right? It won't crack. He's saying, look, you got to understand this. Pray that your roots will go down and you'll have understanding. You'll be able to take hold that God's love is so great. Grounded and rooted. In other words, God's saying, look, you can be so secure in him. You can be so secure in him that no matter what happens, what trial, what situation, what fire you find yourself in, that you will not move. Remember, Jesus made the statement. He said, if you hear these words of mine and you believe them, you're like a house built on a rock. And no matter what comes against you, you will stand. Stand. When you crumble in your life, when you fall prey to the emotions, when you're kicked around by foolish behavior that you knew better on, what was really going on for the follower of God? Listen, you weren't built on a rock. You didn't understand who God was. Now, thankfully, because of Jesus, we can be purified once again. Amen? And we can come back and build on the rock. Right? We can rebuild. We can rebuild. And again, most of us, we're rebuilding daily. Right? Because again, we stumble. We stumble. Father, forgive me. Help me change. I'm getting back on the rock that does not move. Amen? That's the opportunity that you have. But you're rooted and grounded in the love of God. This is Paul's prayer. This is Paul's prayer. So I pray that you would grab hold of this reality, to be grounded in God's love. Let's go on, verse 19. Paul goes on, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Underline that in your Bible, highlight it in your phone. All right? His love is so great, you will never fully understand it. It's beyond measure. It's infinite. And so, again, we have to watch, because we make God ordinary. Okay? And when I look at God and I look at his love, and I've preached this stuff since a lot of you have been alive. Okay? I could say I understand God's love. I know it. But I can honestly say, no, I don't, because it's beyond my understanding. The love of God is so vast and so great that I'm going to spend the rest of my life growing in understanding. But it's that good. It's that big. It's that deep. It's that rich. So think about it. So Paul's saying, man, this is my prayer. I pray that you are grounded and you know it, but I want you to know it's so big you're never going to know it. You have to pursue it the rest of your life. The rest of your life. And again, what do we compare that to? You know, my wife and I have been married for almost 42 years. And I can say that we've grown deeper in love. Were we in love when we first got married? I was, okay. Okay. But what we can say is we've grown deeper in love. There is a depth of love that has grown over time. I love you more now than I did back in 1981. I love you more. I can say that. I can say that. That's real. Okay. It's the same with God. I know God more now. I love him more than ever. You should be able to say that in your life. That we can go forward. Why is that cool? Why do you want to do that? Because there's amazing promises here. Then you will be made complete with all fullness of life and power that comes from God. Complete. How many would like to be complete? How many would like their spouse to be complete? Okay, listen. Because think about this. See, because at times we're praying. Say, oh God, change them. Change shouldn't be the first thing. First things first. They need to know God better. If you know God better, those other things are going to take care of themselves. All right? Man, I pray that we are people who pursue him, to know who he is. The results of keeping prayer first, again, that you're going to be filled up to the fullness of God. Man, then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of God. How do we even start to comprehend, and what is that? What does that even mean? You know, fullness of God means full measure, like a cargo ship that's filled, or a community that every house is filled. It's filled up to all fullness. That's what God has. Okay, how does it happen? When you're rooted and grounded in love, when you're understanding that he is for you and wants to empower you. See, prayer is primarily about you relating to God and appreciating who he is, and growing an understanding of who you are because of him. Do you follow it? That's what prayer is about. It's not just about you running through your prayer list, you know, because I know how that goes. You think, okay, well, I pray. All right, maybe I repeat a rote prayer that I learned when I was a kid. That's not bad. That's not bad. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Okay, and then you go through. Okay, well, I need to pray. I need to pray for everybody in my family. And I'm going to pray for people at work. And 3 minutes later, you're done. You're saying, what do I do now? Listen, see, prayer is more than just this giving God some petitions. It's hanging out with God. Paul's prayer, I pray they would understand by his Spirit working through them, understanding how powerful they can be, that they could be rooted and grounded in love, that they could walk in all fullness. And what's fullness? When I think fullness, I think peace of mind. I could have peace of mind no matter what's going on around me. Amen? Peace of mind. Peace of mind means that when you're busy on the outside and your schedule has you racing and running, but man, inside, your pulse is regulated, your blood pressure's down, and you're just enjoying the trip. Even though, man, you're going to be running till night. See, that's fullness of God. That's peace, the peace of God. It's joy. There should be an irrepressible joy in us. There should be wisdom. There should be power. You're filled with purpose in your life. Life flows from us. How does it happen? As we rest in his love, right? Jesus said, we're like a tree. We're a branch on a tree. I'm connected to Jesus. I'm just a branch. If I stay connected, I bear fruit. Good things happen. People find shade under my care if I'm connected to him. Right? Everything just flows from knowing him. So God, realign us that you could be a person who pursues God's love. I want to be in a love affair, continual love affair with God. Let's go on, verse 20. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Listen, this is a prayer. If you want to pray a prayer for someone you love, pray this prayer. Pray this one, because he says, look, if you get this, you're going to get everything else. If you understand God's love, all those other things will happen. Strength will happen, faith will happen, confidence will happen, if you can understand God's love. That's what's being spoken of. He's able, through his mighty power, to work within us to accomplish even more than you think, more than you comprehend. God, help us to pursue you with passion. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Worship team, come on up. This is a fabulous scripture. Again, I would hope that you have it underlined in your Bible. Paul is again speaking to the Christians in the city of Corinth, right? And he says this. He says, I pray that what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Again, that's really, it's referring to this life. No eye has seen. In other words, you can't comprehend what God wants to do with you. You can't comprehend it. It's so good. And I want to encourage those who, like myself, are a little grayer than everybody else, right? Listen, our time's not past. Our time is not past. Right? No, it hasn't. No, eye hasn't seen, ears heard, not heard what God has planned for you. Do you see? See, that's the full. That's walking in the fullness of God. Who doesn't need their faith built to believe that? Because that is just so hard for us to comprehend. You have that kind of plan for me. For me, we look at all of our limitations, and we limit what God can do. What can God do with Becky if she knows who she is in God? What can God do with Hodge if he really understands? What can God do? What can God do? I mean, that's scripture. That's for everybody. That's not for a select few. Wayne, that's not just for your daughter. That's for you. It's for you. That's for you. Let's just look at that scripture for a moment. I want you to read it to yourself. Read it in first person. Allow that reality to sink in. Your Father is for you, way beyond what you could have ever imagined. Immense strength he wants to give you. How's it happen? What do you have to do? Draw close to him and know his love. Last slide, please. We can have the prayer teams come forward. Every child of God has the privilege, think about it again, the privilege to pray for these three things. God, I just want to grow in the strength, right? I want to grow in your strength. I want to know who I am in you. I want to be grounded in your love. Man, God, I want the greatness of your power to be demonstrated through me. Now what we're going to do, again, because we want this to sink into you in a spiritual way. What we do is spiritual here. It's not intellectual, okay? So we have people up here. I just can't encourage you enough. Come forward for prayer. If you have a special need, come forward for prayer and share that with them. But otherwise, I want everybody to come forward and say, just pray this over me. Pray that I would grow in the strength of God. Pray that I would be grounded in his love. Pray that God's power would be demonstrated in my life. Every one of us wants more of that. Every one of us desires that. Amen? The worship team, we're going to be worshiping God. But again, if what we could, I'm just going to ask if you could come through the center aisle. Right now, let's go. Just get started. Let God bless you. Just stand. Come into the center aisle. Just come on up. Our usher will help you. Rusty will help you. And we're just going to worship God. Man, God, we're desperate for you. God, again, we're desperate. We're desperate. We're desperate. Let's magnify the Lord.